Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. You ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prisoners will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control buildings and industry, and put that pulls in your money. And hold that money. And practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 or 13 times for a lead. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations who got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk own and control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly's, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March, boy, who cares? Marching has never changed anything.
It was almost 2 years ago that I started work on a small log cabin in the northern Canadian bush. And it has been exactly a year since I closed the cabin door for the last time and moved away. Finally, I got the chance to return, and I am anxious to see how the cabin has fared the last four seasons on its own. While most parts of North America are enjoying mild spring weather with no snow, my aluminum snowshoes are falling through waist-deep powder in temperatures of minus 20 degrees Celsius. Although this looks like January weather, would you believe that this is late April? It's been a long, hard winter here. Lots of snow and a solid month of minus 40 degree temperatures. There were even a few days that registered right around minus 50. It seems that the lynx population has been hit the hardest this winter. Several locals have reported that their dogs have been attacked by lynx along the hiking trails. Normally, lynx avoid this sort of contact with bigger dogs and humans, but the prolonged cold temperatures have forced them to make desperate decisions.
Now, learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said, this man that went to heaven, and he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and it was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. He messed around. He saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know. He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he's here. He said, nah, I won't know what's in the door. He said, you sure you won't see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had number shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you happen is, when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it, because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on Not Meant to Be Way, because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go over on Pity Way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off, because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it's on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places. I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she's been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad a cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me.
Hi, folks. In this video, I'd like to talk about how to have a home with no house payments, and no monthly utility bills. You may think that's not possible, but I do it, and lots of other people do it as well. I'm going to show you how it can be done, how it can be done very inexpensively, and just kind of a, give you some ideas for things that you can do that society and the economic powers that be don't want you to know. So stay with me for a second, and let me walk you through this. First, you need some land. This is my piece of land, which is under an acre, about 3/4 of an acre. And that's really all you need to take care of most of the needs you have and for running a small homestead. Now, I was lucky enough to get this piece of property from family. It was willed to me when my father passed away. But I have also purchased small pieces of property like this for under $400. I have an acre down in Arizona near Sholo, Arizona that I purchased for under $400. I have 5 acres near El Paso, Texas that I purchased for under $700. So it's very easy to find a piece of land if you do some looking around. eBay is a good source for finding land. Tax sales are a good source for finding land. Family members may want to sell off a piece of land. Go around looking in rural areas, and maybe you'll find a farmer that wants to split off a small piece of land and would gladly sell you one. You don't have to spend a lot of money on land. Okay? This is land that doesn't have utilities run to it. It doesn't have a blacktop road that runs into it or driveway. It's rough land. That's what you start with usually if you want to buy a small piece of land that you're going to homestead on. After you have your piece of land, then you're going to have a house. You can have a big house like most people live in, and you can pay a lot of money for it and have a mortgage and be a slave to the system for another 30 years, or you can decide if you'd like to build a smaller house like mine. Paid for with cash. This is my solar cabin. The cabin cost me $2,000 to build. That does not include the doors and windows, which I salvaged off of a trailer that was being torn down. For the cabin, it cost me $2,000. It is 14 by 14. Downstairs is living area, dining area, bathroom, kitchen. Upstairs, I have a loft, bedroom, and an office. In my other videos, I take you on a complete walkthrough of this cabin, so watch those if you want to see how the cabin is as large as it is and functional on the inside. Up there on my roof, you see my solar panels. That's a 350-watt solar system that provides all of my electricity needs for lights, TVs, water pumps, all miscellaneous gadget, laptop, TV, run my vacuum, and everything else off of a 350-watt system. That 350-watt system cost me under $3,000. $2,000 for the cabin, $3,000 for the power system of solar electricity, and I use propane. I have a propane tank in the back of the cabin, and I have a propane furnace, fridge, stove, and on-demand water heater, and those cost me just about $200 for an entire year. And we have cold winters here, folks. Under $200 for an entire year for all of my propane. That is the only utility bill I have. I do not pay for electricity. I do not pay for water because I drilled my own water well. Before I drilled my own water well, though, I hauled water in. But drilling a water well on a piece of property is not that hard. You can either do it yourself or hire somebody to do it. So I have no monthly utility bills. I have a house that's completely paid for. And I have freedom. A freedom that you can't get when you're under the pressure of a mortgage and utility bills. I want you to take just a minute and think about what you could do with your life if you had no house payments and no utility bills. And I'm telling you, it is completely possible. I'm not going to go into any details of how to get out of the house that you're in. You're going to have to figure that out and talk to some professionals for some help that way. All I'm here to do is tell you it's completely possible. Now, some of you are looking at the cabin and saying, yeah, but I couldn't possibly live in anything that small. This cabin was designed specifically for additions to be built on any of three sides. As you can see, the cabin has no windows on any of the three sides. There is a window in the back door glass. The sides are 14 by 14. The cabin was built to have shed additions built on all three sides. This cabin is 400 square feet approximately inside with 200 square foot footprint. When you add on additions, you could add on an additional 400 square feet on either side and off the back, giving you anywhere from 800 to 1,200 square feet. The great thing about building a small cabin to start out with, though, is it gives you a place to live when you build on your additions, and that way you can wait and live very cheaply without any house payments or utility bills, and then when you have the money, you can build on the additions to expand the cabin. That's very good for a single person or a young couple who don't have children, because you don't need a whole lot of space to start off with. This way you can save for it, build on as you want to, have the additions, have the extra room if that's what you want. Now, I live full-time in this cabin. I live by myself, but my girlfriend comes up here on the weekends, and we stay together, and let me tell you, it's perfectly comfortable. We don't feel cramped at all, and we'd much rather have a small place like this. It takes a lot less money to heat. It takes a lot less money to cool. It's a lot easier to clean. It's just a fantastic home. Now, I'm not trying to push you into building a home exactly like mine. I'm just trying to provide you with some ideas. If you wanted to come up with different ideas, a different plan, that's just fine by me. But if you are interested in learning how to build a home like mine, I do have an ebook available and a printed book available called Simple Solar Homesteading. Go to www.simplesolarhomesteading.com. You can learn how to build a cabin like mine, or at least get some great ideas for building your own home. Now, I want to repeat, I own my land. I have a house that I built for under $2,000. I have a solar electric system that I have for under $3,000. I use propane, which costs me under $200 a year. I have no house payments. I have no utility bills. If you want a life like this, it is very possible. You can stop listening to the media, and you can stop being put under society's pressures to live in the type of houses that everyone tells you you have to live in. You can live very inexpensively, and you can do this at any age, whether you're older or younger. If you're younger and you start in a place like this, imagine the amount of money that you would have to retire on, with no house payments, no utility bills, and freedom. Thank you for joining me, folks. Please watch the rest of my videos for more detailed information on each of the systems and a complete walkthrough of the cabin.
The only two things in life that make it worth living is guitars that tune good and firm feeling women. I don't need my name in the marquee lights. I got my song and I got you with me tonight. Maybe it's time we got back to the basics of love. Let's go to Lukenbach, Texas, Waylon and Willie and the boys. This successful life we're living got us feuding like the Hatfields and McCoys. Between Hank Williams' pain songs and Lou Barry's train songs and Blue Eyes crying in the rain. Out in Lukenbach, Texas, ain't nobody feeling no pain. So baby, let's sell your diamond ring, buy some boots and faded jeans and go away. This coat and tie is choking me, in your high society you cry all day. Been so busy keeping up with the Joneses, four car garage, and we're still building on. Maybe it's time we got back to the basics of love. Let's go to Lukenbach, Texas, Waylon and Willie and the boys. This successful life we're living got us feuding like the Hatfields and McCoys. Between Hank Williams' pain songs and Newberry's train songs and Blue Eyes crying in the rain. Out in Lukenbach, Texas, ain't no
a living, got the feuding like the Hatfields and the Coys. Between the Hank Williams pain songs and Jerry Jeff's rain songs and Blue Eyes crying in the rain. Out in Lukenbach, Texas, there ain't nobody feeling no pain.
All right, and today we're going to have our jump off with the topic, microtowns, which is what we do around here, microtowns phase one, and phase one, the common denominator that I have found is camping, and the highlight tiny town of the day will be. We're up to number 30. Remember, in the United States, there are 108,000 towns. Give or take, 108,000 towns, populations ranging from one person to all the way up to 9 or 10 million people, you know, with New York City. So we focus in on the tiny towns in population and area size. And today, our tiny town highlight is Scenic, South Dakota. Scenic, South Dakota, S-C-E-N-I-C. Scenic, South Dakota, population, 10 people. Just 10 people. Town size of the city proper, 12 acres. It's 12 acres large. It has a general store. They do church service, Bible studies there. They have a bunkhouse. And a bunkhouse is typically used for people who work in and or near the town. This is probably... they probably have work outside of Scenic or right near it. But they have a bunkhouse for workers and a saloon, a place where they can have happy hour. Now, let's read more about go to Wikipedia. Scenic, South Dakota is an unincorporated community in Pennington County, South Dakota. Here in the United States, it is located within the Scenic Township, which had a 2010 population of 58 people. The community is located adjacent to the Badlands National Park and about 50 miles southeast of Rapid City and about 1 hour by car if you go along Highway Number 44. The community was so named Scenic, setting for the town site. As an economic decline hit the town in the 21st century, local businessman Twyla Merrill acquired more and more of the town property until she owned most of it. All right. In July 2011, the 12-acre town and surrounding area, which includes 46 more acres, was listed for sale for $799,000. The sale included a post office, the Longhorn Saloon, which is a dance hall and bunkhouse museum, and two stores. It also included a train depot that is all on an abandoned train line, which is part of the Chicago, Milwaukee, St. Paul Pacific Railroad, as it is subject to a 104-mile rail-to-rail project between Rapid City and Kadoka. Let's see. On August 2011, the Iglesia de Cristo, Church of Christ, an independent non-Trinitarian Christian denomination based in the Philippines, bought the property for $800,000. Pennington County record show. You know what's amazing? You have, particularly if you live in some of these larger cities in the United States, I have a friend of mine, she just bought a condo, two-bedroom condo. I think it's two-bedroom, two-bathroom condo for like, it was at least $200,000. So imagine if you just got, you know what, get together with some of your friends and buy a tent. I mean, these people from the Philippines did it. Because here in the United States, we have the free enterprise system. Anybody can get in on the action. All right, anyway. Let's see. On April 15th, an INC minister moved to the area and soon afterwards began leading services to 10 to 15 congregants who live near Scenic. Okay, well, that's what we have. Now, just as a side note, is Johnsonville Village in Connecticut. Johnsonville Village was once a thriving mill community, then a Victorian era tourist attraction, was abandoned as a ghost town in East Haslam, Connecticut, here in the United States. On July 7, 2017, the property was acquired by, once again, Iglesia de Cristo's Church of Christ, an Trinitarian Christian denomination based in the Philippines. So here's some people, and here's the beauty of the United States. No player hating here. You don't even have to be a citizen of the United States. You don't even have to have a credit rating to buy a town here in the United States. Now, I'm bringing this out because, let me go to my program notes here. I was just watching a video this morning. In New York City, as well as other cities, but for the sake of this conversation, we're going to concentrate on New York City. New York City has a serious housing crisis. I mean, it's not new, but they're at the breaking point. The homeless population in New York City, there are 49,700. Now, these are the ones who've been counted. I don't know how many have not been counted, but the ones who have been counted, the homeless people counted in New York City is 49,700 people. Now, there's also a migrant community up there, people from Venezuela, Ukraine, south of the border here in the United States. And they're at 50,000 people. So you were at 50,000 people, 50,000 migrants in New York City. And by the way, the people that are in the homeless shelters in New York City, they have been given a 60-day notice. You got to move out. You got 60 days to get your shit together and get the fuck out. The mayor of New York City might not have used language like I just did, but to some people there, that the reality, the de facto-ness of the language is the reality of it. You got to get the hell out of Dodge, or in this case, New York City. You got 60 days. All right, so if you don't have enough social capital or money, you got to get out of New York City, and I would say the New York City metro area, which includes New Jersey. All right, so 50,000 migrant people in New York City right now, in addition to 49,700 homeless people in shelters in New York City, that's a total of 99,700 people in New York City in need of permanent housing. micro towns, which is what we do. 1 acre towns, 2 acre towns. Now, me personally, my limit is 20 acres. But you can go higher than that, 40, 50, 100 acres, 1,000 acres. But that's where the ball's going, folks. Get you a patch of dirt somewhere and start your own little community. Now, in the title of this podcast today, it's Microtown Phase 1. The common denominator that I've gotten from towns like Scenic, South Dakota, and all the tiny towns that we've covered, we're up to 30 so far with Scenic, South Dakota. The common denominator with all these towns is that they started with somebody camping. They started out with a tent. That's how most of these towns started. Most of these towns that we've covered, and we're up to 30 so far, many of them are over 100 years old. And they started with a tent. And then if you, because I haven't set foot in the church in a long time, but I'm just bringing this out of the Bible. If you go to Genesis 4:20, and I'm paraphrasing here, they lived in tents. Genesis, go look it up yourself. Now, that's a document 5,000 years old. Genesis 4:20, they lived in, I'm paraphrasing when I say they live in tents, but tents in there. All right. If you go to Genesis 9:27, different scripture, you got another group of people living in tents. If you go to Jeremiah 37:5, there's a mention of tents again. So that's going back 5,000 years. In Mongolia right now, in 2023, in Mongolia, you have about 40% of the population, 30 to 40% of the population of the country of Mongolia, that they live in tents. Now, their tents are, stylish. They're called yurts. Over there, you might call them GERS, G-E-R. But we call them yurts, Y-U-R-T, or some people put it Y-E-R-T. But they live in yurts. Those are tents. So as a culture in Mongolia, that's the way they've been living for centuries or whatever. But like I say, most of the towns that we covered right here in the United States, they started out with camping and the use of tents. So with this 99,700 people in, can you imagine providing housing to that many people? How many? What do you call it? What's this town we're doing today? Scenic, South Dakota. Population 10. Okay. So let's, and they're on 12 acres in the city proper. So let's take, I'm going to say 90,000 people. I'm going to drop it down some. 90,000 divided by 10, as in 10 people. We can start 9,000 towns. Want to become a billionaire? A multi-billionaire? You can start 9,000 towns with populations of 10 people, and that's just what New York City's got. Okay. And let's say you've got hold up. 9,000, and you're going to put them on 12 acres of land. Buy yourself 9,000 acres. That's a lot of land, man. But it's out there to get. So, and it, you know what? But New York City's not the only place. You know, they're busting at the seams, but Seattle, same problem. San Jose, California, same problem. Chicago, Illinois, same problem. Miami, Florida, same problem. Washington, D.C., same problem. Boston, Massachusetts, same problem. Because 86% of the population here in the United States lives, only occupies just 3% of the landmass. And most people, see, why are all these people crowded into New York City? See, there's a miseducation void here, sort of a abyss. They're there for services because they don't know how to drill for water. They don't know how to locate water. They don't know how to harvest water. They don't know how to grow their own food, none of that kind of stuff. Transportation. So if you got just a teeny bit of imagination, okay, because like cities, in New York City, you got 50,000 plus people. The clock is ticking. They have 60 days, as it is 59 days today, to get out the shelter in New York City to make room for more migrants. Now, the migrants is a golden opportunity for a lot of people because you have a lot of migrants who are getting legal subsidies. They're getting Social Security. They're getting enough within that Social Security for food. What do you call those things? An EBT card where they can buy groceries. They can pay you rent. So I'm just saying the opportunities out there. All right, that's my rant on – no, wait a minute.
Hello?
Yeah. So, yeah. Robin, any comments, feedback, what have you?
So, tents. Cities started in tents. So, back in the day,
and
the 12
even today?
Tribes, the 12 tribes of Judah, they lived in tents. They didn't build buildings. They lived in tent. Even the temple was in a tent. So,
when they reached the promised land, when they reached the promised land, where did they live in the promised land? They lived in tents.
They didn't build buildings. They built tents. So,
that's phase
one. I'm just saying. Yeah. Just saying.
I'm looking at it as phase one. Like, if you look at the common denominator of all these places that we featured, that's why I say it's phase one. Phase one is camping with the use of tents. And that's well documented. Well documented. So, let's see. Before we go, because we're supposed to be doing some training and education today. 309 area code, your mic is open.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Boy, the sun is shining. I sent you a link, L.A. I sent it to Robin, too. That was the news here in Illinois yesterday. And it's Governor Pritzker saying they want to eliminate chronic homelessness here in Illinois, and they've got $350 million they signed in yesterday that's available to do so. And an additional $50 million for immediate housing. And I sent you guys the link to that. So if you want to actually read the news and see things and what we need to, which I'm already on. I've already sent it out to my team of people to start getting aggressive. But I happened to be the first person to ever ask this governor a question in his political career. And I had all of the people running for governor on stage. And I met them all, and they all supported what I was talking about. But what was funny is when Congresswoman Bustos, you got to ask one question. So anybody that was in the audience, not everybody got to ask a question. You got to ask one question to the politician. And I got picked to do him. Now, we already knew he was going to win, just for the fact he's the richest one. And he had the biggest platform. Now, he addressed me that day before I spoke. And all the news agencies were there. And what it was is he said, he told everybody that they needed to turn and look at me. And he addressed me as my name, but then he told me before I speak, he spoke. Now, it was about what I have done and what we're going to do in your community. Now, he said, so what's your question? I asked him if they would legalize marijuana and let the charities use the tax revenue from it and get the people off the street on their feet. Mm-hmm. And he said 150%.
Mm-hmm.
And they legalized it. They've got the money. And now they're making it available. So, you know, there's a little bit of history to that whole situation, but it's sitting there, and it's called Home Illinois. Home IL is what they're calling it. But it could be Home Georgia. It could be Home Florida. It could be – it doesn't matter. It could be any state. It was the point of, you know, it's time to initiate, right? Well, here's a step. Now, there's a lot of other places that have even more money because they have bigger problems. But Illinois does have a big problem. So it's nice to see that the bill wasn't just – it was showing how to collaborate with businesses and charities combined. That's what this bill is about. Because that was the main thing, was supporting the local businesses. You know, I had 300 local businesses at the time that I walked up and spoke with them, that if you opened your mouth and said you were a Hope supporter, when you spent your money, they would give me their advertising money. They'd give it back to the community. Now, to get people to do that is very hard, because you can't make anybody do anything. And out of sight, out of mind, okay, that meant I wasn't at point of sale. So when you were eating your food or buying whatever you're buying, I was on the door when you walked in, but you just walked in and either ate or you looked around the store, you had all these other things go through your mind, and when you went to pay, you didn't say that you were a Hope supporter. It wasn't that I didn't reach the people and they didn't know. They just would forget to tell, you know, the business that they're supporting us. Now, this is a situation to where we can actually partner with businesses, because one, we need to employ people. We need job training. Not everybody's going to build homes. Not everybody's going to sell homes. Not everybody's going to do whatever they do. You know, it's what they – I want them to find what they enjoy to do, but they need to know there's a lot out there, right? But, you know, this is just a bill that just got signed, so I got the new thing sent to me, and I was like, all right, let's share it out this morning. Let's get some news going. Let's get some discussion on it and see what we can motivate.
Okay. Yeah, sure. Let's see. Robin, and that's what I think, Rob. Let's see. Let's start with this training. Robin, what do we need to do? Because we need to be on visually. Anyway, what do you got for us?
So I have tested both you and Chris instructions. So look down and see if you receive the text from me.
Yep, I see
it. Both of
Wait
you?
A minute. Yeah. Yeah.
Chris?
Yes, ma'am, I got it.
Okay, so find Vimeo in your Play Store and install it, and then log in with the credential that I've given you.
Got it.
Once it installs and once you get logged in, let me know, and then we'll proceed from there. And it's case sensitive. It is case sensitive. What is that for me for? Okay. So after this, you will also be able to, well, you already are able to watch I Am Streaming on your television, but now you'll see LA on stream. And you want to be mindful of your background and your lighting. You want to make sure you can be seen. You know, look at the actual frame and you can see yourself. If it's dark in the frame and if you can't see you, nobody else can either. Okay? So be mindful of your background, your lighting. Because when you're live, you'll also have to be your own producer as well, unless you have a producer. Are you finding the application? Men, hello?
Yeah, I'm talking it in right now. I've just got myself muted.
Oh, okay. I don't know if you might can play a little something so we don't have dead air.
Well, hey, folks, and welcome to Solar Cabin Channel. I've got a neat little project for you. I call the Multi-Shack. This is one of my homeless housing solutions designs. And some of you probably don't know this, but I was homeless twice in my life. The first time was when I was trying to get into college, and I had lost my job and was waiting for my college funding to come in, and so I had to live in my truck. I lived in the cab of my truck for almost 2 months while I waited for my college funding to come in. And then again later in life when I got divorced and didn't have a job and was trying to get off grid, I lived for almost 2 years in a camp trailer. And, you know, there's a lot of people that, homeless people that have their pride. They want to maintain their independence. They don't want to live on welfare. They don't want to be caught up in the system. And, you know, all they need is a simple shelter, you know, someplace to get out of the cold, to get out of the wind, to get out of the rain, while they get back on their feet. And so I know there's a lot of organizations out there that are helping the homeless, churches, nonprofits, and things like that. So I came up with this small structure design, which I call the multi-shack, because it has actually multi-uses to it, and it can be built very affordably. You can build this entire shack for under $200, and it is built on wheels. It can be put on either a 4x6 trailer, or you can build it on casters. Casters are a lot less expensive, but it still allows you to move this unit around. So you could store, you know, a bunch of these on a church parking lot, and then just when you need them, you can move them out to wherever you want the person to be using them. Casters are 4-inch casters. Each caster will hold up to 240 pounds, so they'll more than handle the weight for this structure here. Now, this structure is 6'5" from the peak to the bottom, 6'5", so and even a tall person can stand upright inside this structure. The door is 1'6" wide and about 5'3" to the peak up there in the door. And the structure is 4 foot wide approximately and about 6 foot long. About 6 foot long by 4 foot wide, 6'5" to the peak. And this is constructed very inexpensively from 2x4 framing, which I'll show you, and uses, I would use 7/16 OSB or plywood. Either one would work for the siding on this. Now, a couple of the features here. I show this with dorm windows. The dorm windows are actually optional. You don't have to put dorm windows. You can just go with a flat roof surface if you want here. I show this with wood shingles, or you could use just plain old tar paper and roofing shingles. Any type of roofing shingles would work on this. Show it with a little flower box there just for effect. And on the backs and the front, I show this with these round windows, like boat-style windows, or you could put square windows. Either one works. I just like the effect of the round windows, the look of those in there. This does have an access panel on the back. Down here is an access panel. We'll just open this up so I can show you. Open up, take this one off. There we go. Now you can see inside the access panel, underneath the seat and bed, is storage, lots of storage underneath here for a propane tank, one of those Port-a-Loo porta-potties, an ice chest over there you can see, okay? So there's good storage. This is about 18 inches high inside here and about 4 feet wide inside. So the structure, I'll show this with the door open. Let me just hide this door here. With the door open, you can see I've got this set up. Right now I've got it set up for seating. During the day, this would be used for seating purposes, okay? And I'm going to pull the side roof off here so I can show you inside. But this has a very nice space for a person that maybe is going to school or working, or just the table can be used for eating or whatever. So you've got approximately 6 feet of space on the inside here by 4 feet wide. And this table is actually part of the bed platform, which I'll show you. You just pull the 2x4 out, put it in one of these slots. It's in this 2x4 here. There's another one on the other side. You just drop the 2x4 into the slot, and then you take your bed panel and put it up on top of that, and then that becomes a table. Here you've got 2-foot by 4-foot cushions. There's three of these cushions that become your bed. Or you can use a roll-up mattress pad underneath this that becomes your bed. But during the daytime, it becomes seating. It becomes a little mini couch in here, 4 foot wide. And now you've got a space for a student to do their studies, their work, or for having your meal, or if you're working on a hobby or a craft or something like that, you've got this nice little space. When you need to get out the door, you just lift the table up, put it back, put the 2x4 back in the bottom slots, put the table down, and, you know, then you turn it into a bed. And I'm going to show you what it looks like as a bed, too. So, good headroom in this. I really like that it's got a very good space. This is an average person, 5'8" tall. You can see you've got lots of headroom here. You've got these nice dormer windows, which would give you lots of light. Lots of light, and also gives you a little bit more headroom up in this area right in here. A 6-foot person could stand up in the middle of this quite comfortably. Two people could actually share, sit side by side on this couch, or you can put in another, you could pull your ice chest cooler out, or someone could put a foldable chair on the other side here. So you could actually have two people sitting side by side or crossways next to each other here. So lots of space in this little place. So let me show you what the framing looks like on this first. And I'll just have to zoom in on this. Now this is all done with 2x4 construction to keep it inexpensive and easy to build. And then I would sheathe it with either 7/16 inch OSB or plywood. Either one would work. Now it's got a floor frame, as you can see, made of 2x4s down here. Simple 2x4 frame, floor frame construction, and then your casters attach to the corners, not exactly in the corners, but they attach to the floor framing, and the casters have locks on them, so once you move this in place, you can just click on the locks and lock it in place so it won't be rolled around while the person is inside it. Now, this is the bed platform, and it has, this back platform is This back platform is 2'6" wide, and it is permanently connected. These are 1'9" wide platforms that can be raised up. And as you can see, these 2x4s right here, you put the 2x4 up in these other slots, and then you put these panels up on top, and they become either a table or a workspace. This one can go up here. This one can go on the end. It can go over the middle. So I gave you lots of options for the ways that you can organize this into workspace or living space as you need to use it. Very simple construction. Takes about 20 2x4s to build this. That's about it. And you're looking at about under $200 for all the material costs. And you could build one of these in a day. Seriously, you could build the complete unit in about a day. And now I'm going to show you on the inside how this can be used as a bed and also as a small business. So I'm just going to click off this. Okay, now I show this with the bed down, the door open so you can kind of get a peek inside here. Now, this is an uninsulated structure. You really don't need insulation in a small structure like this because the human body puts off about as much heat as a 90-watt light bulb. So in a small structure like this, your own body heat will actually heat it up. And for sleeping, you can either do these pads like this as mattress pads, or you can just get a sleeping bag pad or even an air cushion pad to go underneath it. A sleeping bag pad would work fine because you can roll it up and use it as your seating. And a good heavy-duty sleeping bag would be all you would need in order to sleep very comfortably in here. As long as you don't have the wind blowing on you or the rain drenching you or snow piling up on you, you'll sleep very comfortably in a small structure like this. Your own body heat will heat it up. You could add a heater to these, but it really isn't necessary in these small structures. So I'm going to pull off the side roof, and I'm going to show you how much space this has inside it for a bed. It actually has a very nice bed that will sleep either one or two people. Pull this off here. Just hide this. Now, this has a 4-foot wide by 6-foot long bed. So even an average person can sleep in here, even a tall person, fairly tall person, can sleep in here comfortably without being cramped. And it's 4 foot wide, so that's a very wide bed that will actually sleep two people. Two people could sleep in this space, all right? And it's 6 foot wide, and it's 4 foot wide and 6 foot long. This person I show in here is about 5'8" tall, which is average height for most people. And here you can see the slots I was talking about. These platforms, which I'll show you, I'll take the bed off now. These two platforms are removable with 2x4s underneath them. You just take the 2x4, you put it in the slots that go across here, and then put these platforms up on top to make your table. And you can actually do a table on either end or one in the middle for a desk and table. Now, the ones on the ends I'll show you are used if you want to run a small business out of here, or if you want to organize this in a different way so that if you're cooking, you could put one of these tables on this end or on this end, and you could set up your cooking supplies and you can take care of yourself. You can cook a meal inside this little place right here. So 4 foot wide, 6 foot long bed, and then very adaptable with these platforms of 2x4s. You can just put them up and you can reorganize this any way you want during the daytime for whatever function that you're going to be using. Again, it has storage space underneath the bed and seating. You've got that nice access panel for you. You've got storage underneath there. And I really like the space in here. This would be enough adequate space if in an emergency, let's say that a city has a disaster, a fire like they just had in Canada wipes out all these homes, or you have a tornado tear through a place, or you have flooding or something like that, which we've all seen in the news, happens all the time, and suddenly churches are overrun with people that don't have housing. You know, if you had a bunch of these sitting around that would sleep at least 2 people, you could pull these out in a small area, you could set these up, and people would at least have shelter for survival until they can get into houses or bigger shelters or something like that. So that's another use for this type of structure here. So now I'm going to put the bed back on just to show you. And again, you can see this has really nice dormer windows. So you got really good light in this. And it's got an excellent sleeping space. It would be better for one person, but it would be adequate for 2 people. Okay? And, if you got little teeny kids with you, you could put, one adult and a couple of kids in there, too. You know, there's enough space in there to sleep comfortably, and you've got lots and lots of headroom. You're not going to bump your head or anything while you're sleeping. Doorway, 1 foot 6 inches wide, 5 foot 3 inches to the top up here. So lots and lots of good space in this. Now I'm going to show you how this can also be modified to be used as a small business. Okay, one thing I know about people that are homeless is they're also very creative. And, a lot of them actually run little businesses in order to support themselves. A lot of them do recycling. They recycle cans and bottles and other stuff like that. Or they pick up small appliances and stuff that they may find on the streets, or books or pictures or whatever, and they resell them, and that's how they support themselves. A lot of them are also very crafty people. They may make jewelry, or they may make wood crafts or something like that, or they may be artists. And so they have a way to support themselves, and so I think we ought to encourage that, because that helps them to develop sustainability. Not everybody is equipped to work in the regular workforce. Some people just aren't, but they're very industrious and can support themselves with a small business. And so I thought, well, this shack could also be used for setting up a small business. So what I did is I made this so that the window here can be hinged up, and I'll show this. The window on one of the dormers, or both, can be hinged up out of the way. And then you've got room here to put a sales counter or little platform here where this person is 5 foot 8 inches tall. A person can stand in this window and they can operate a small business. They can talk to customers, they can take money, whatever, working right out of this small shack. Now, this doesn't necessarily have to be for homeless people. If you wanted to run a hot dog or hamburger stand, or sell your crafts or your books, or whatever you want to do with this, maybe it's a ticket stand, I don't know. This little shack could be very useful for a lot of different purposes. That's why I call it a multi-shack, is because it can be used for many different purposes. But this would be great for a homeless person that has a craft that they make, or recycle products or whatever. They want to sell them, they just hinge up the window, and they set themselves up a little business here to take care of customers. Now, this also shows inside how those tables can be reorganized. Here you can see I've lifted up the bed platform to put a table on this end, another table on this end, and you can use this for cooking in here. You can see I've got a little two-burner propane stove that you can set up on one of the tables up there so you can do your cooking. You can work on your crafts. This table just lifts off. The 2x4 lifts off if you need to get access to the door. Lots of good headroom, okay? Workspace in there. This can be modified many different ways for many different people of however you want to use it. So a very functional space in there. All right, so that is the multi-shack, all right? And let me just unhide this so you can get a better view of it. Again, can be built very inexpensively, around under $200 on casters, more expensive if you put it on a trailer. And I'm going to provide these plans for free because this is a project that I designed specifically for churches and nonprofit organizations to build shelters. And at present in the U.S., we have about 1.6 million homeless people that just need a simple shelter to live in, or we have that's about one out of 200 people, and that's just in the U.S. There's a lot of people in other countries that are in even worse shape, and I really think a project like this would be great for helping the homeless people to have shelter while maintaining their independence and their pride, but it could also be used as disaster relief shelters. You know, we could easily have a major disaster in a city where we have thousands and thousands of people that suddenly are homeless and we need to provide quick shelter. These would also work for that. It would be big enough space for two people to sleep and, you know, to take care of their basic needs. And that's what this structure is about. So I hope you like this design. It's called the Multi-Shack. You can get the plans for free on my website, simplesolarhomesteading.com. Up at the top, look at Multi-Shack. Now, there is a button there if you would like to donate. Your donations are used by me to design structures like this and build small houses. I work with a lot of homeless people that don't want to be in the system, that want to build their own off-grid cabins and houses and places like that. I help them with designs and building those projects. So any donation, if you can donate, is very appreciated and will help with those projects. All right, folks, I hope you like this project called the Multi-Shack, and have a great day.
Okay, that seems like a project worth tackling. Let's see. Hey, Robert, I haven't tried the brand new thing you put it in, but I'm about to do it now. But it does work because I got in before.
Do not click anything until I have given you the instructions. Please wait there, okay?
Okay, I haven't put in anything yet.
Okay.
The password is still the same. I am streaming worldwide at Gmail.
Don't say it over the air, please? And then it's case sensitive.
Just like you have it.
Yeah.
Okay. Now let me...
actually copy and paste it if you get the chat.
Okay. Wait a minute. I swore I saw it. Okay, well, I'm on Vimeo.
Are you logged in?
No, I'm not logged in.
You have to log in, LA.
Yeah, and I would need the password for that. Is it the same as before? It's the same as before.
It's not the same as before. If you look in the text message, in the group text message, I've given you the new one. I said you, and I put in the new one. Do you see it?
Okay, I'm looking. Oh, okay, I see it. I think I see it, yeah. Okay.
You acknowledged it. Hey, it says the word use, and then it has the password. Do you see that? Hello?
Yeah, yeah. Say it again, because I'm looking at the text message, and I sent you something with a question mark. Oh, okay.
So just a second.
All right.
Okay, there it is. And it is case sensitive, just like it said. Do you see it? Hello?
Yep. Yeah, I see. Okay. Yeah. Okay. And that's the password. All right, I got an unable. Let me go back again.
It's case sensitive.
I know, but case sensitive.
The first letter is lowercase. The rest are uppercase.
Yeah, I see it.
And the email, imstreamingworldwide@gmail.com.
Yeah, I got that already.
What's it giving you?
Unable to log in. I'm typing in for the third time.
And you're using the login with email. You're not trying to log in with Gmail.
No, I'm not using that.
You type in the email. And then you put in the password, case sensitive. The first letter is lowercase. The rest are uppercase with the number one exclamation at sign. It's all there.
Right.
And then click enter. We're both in. I don't know why you're not getting in.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay, what I'm going to do here is I'm going to do this. I'm going to conclude this program and work on this immediately offline. I mean, not on the air. I'm going to have to reboot my phone.
Okay, so
I've been in there before. Yeah, the last time we were in here, I got into it.
What?
I said the last time we did this, I got in.
What do you mean the last? What? What?
We got into this before. On
okay.
Vimeo, I've been Vimeo before on this. Here, where you walked me through. So, what I'm going to do now is conclude the program and then, you know, work on it. You know, not doing program time. I'm going to talk to you about it.